Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Proverbs chapter 4. All right, thank you. Proverbs chapter 4. Thank you, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It's good to be here. Get your Bible open there to Proverbs chapter 4. In just a second, we're going to look at verse 23 together. So after you get there, Proverbs chapter 4, you then look right this way. I've looked forward to this opportunity to be here in chapel and to have an opportunity to preach at Hiles Anderson College. I love Hiles Anderson College. It was part of my education, and the faculty and staff that are here, I have utmost respect for them and appreciate their influence on my life. God's been very good to me, a lot better than I deserve, and it hasn't been very difficult for me. It's just taking the next step that God shows me in my life. Many of you, as I look around the auditorium, I've had the opportunity to be a part of your life somewhere along the way, and I'm very proud of you. What a good life to invest in others and also to have other good Christian friends. God has given me a wife that I certainly don't deserve and just love her. I don't know how I could love her anymore. And the fact that she loves me is unbelievable sometimes. The family that God has given me, and I believe that God has a great life for you. As long as we live a life that God can bless. I mean, it's not a perfect life. He doesn't promise that, but it's a good life. And not only that, when it's all said and done, how about eternal life in heaven? I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So, again, I'm honored to be here. I love Hiles Anderson College. I believe in you. I believe in your future. I've been here at this place long enough now to see graduates from Hiles Anderson College just do great things. And graduates from Hiles Anderson College who influence my family and help me with the rearing of my children, and our other places helping other families for the Lord. So as we look this morning at a truth from God's Word, you'll find it is not my intention at all to impress you. We're going to look right at the Scripture. The outline that we'll use this morning comes right here from Proverbs chapter 4. You know, I'm stealing it from the wisest man who ever lived. So if you're going to steal a sermon, it's a pretty good place to get it. And I hope and I believe it can be a help to each of us if we just focus on it. You know, there's plenty of things for our mind to go to while we're sitting here in chapel. Let's work for the next few minutes to allow not only the wisest man who ever lived, but the Holy Spirit's inspiration through this man that he's trying to give to his son. Allow that to make a difference in your life this morning. It will. It's the Word of God, you know, if you allow it to. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to look here at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to have what we have. We've already addressed that a little bit this morning. We don't deserve it. Lord, each of us can think of people in our past who have been such good, positive influences on our lives. And Lord, we don't deserve that. I pray we would live every day with the intention of being a good investment. You have invested in us, and we have invested in our education and our Christian life. And Lord, we need your blessing. We ask that you bless the time that we're going to spend this morning and the effort that we'll put into this morning to receiving a truth from your word. Thank you once again for being so good to us. Please bless us in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A few words of explanation there. First of all, keep is guard, protect. Your heart, you understand from the book of Proverbs especially, but in the Bible, normally the heart, as mentioned in the Bible, is not that organ that pumps blood. It is that place where your opinions are. Right? Where you think, The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's where your desires are. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart, right? So again, it's not talking about that physical organ, and you know that, but let's just be plain. It's talking about your seat of emotions. It's talking about where your deepest desires are held. It's talking about where your opinions are. Protect that with all diligence. Okay, now hold on. Stop there for just a second, because that's a word that's often overlooked in this passage. What do you do diligently? There's something in your life that you do diligently. Now, maybe you don't always do diligently what you should do diligently, just like I don't always do diligently what I should do diligently. But there's something in your life, and it might be somewhat meaningless, but there's something in your life that you do diligently, whether it's social media that you check, or whether it's a sports team that you follow, or whether it's even something spiritual as a ministry, walking with God. There's something that you do diligently. Okay, if we could, for just a second, let's use that measurement, our own measurement, okay, for whatever it is you do diligently. How does that compare to how you guard that seat of emotion, that thinking? How does that compare what you do diligently to guarding your heart? Okay, that's how we should guard our heart. Guard our heart. That's how we should guard our heart, okay? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, for out of it are the issues of life. If you look up that word issues, it's almost like a legal term for a boundary. And you could preach that, I guess, a couple of different ways. I mean, there are certain boundaries that God has set up in your life. Like I mentioned a moment ago, you want to live a life that God can bless, right? And you stay within those boundaries. You stay within the law and the rules of God. You can live a life that God can bless. You can also look at it like your own limits in life can be exceeded with God's help, okay? So I know you could preach that either way, all right? But the point that I'm going to make, that I think the verse makes, is if you guard your emotions, your thinking, with all diligence, that will determine where you end up in life. That will determine your destination in life. Okay, now, here's the point of spending that amount of time on verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here's what we're going to spend our time doing for the rest of the time in chapel. We're going to look at the next four verses here in just a moment. Okay, now, as soon as I said that, you're looking at the four verses. Don't do that yet. Okay, we'll do that in just a second, okay? We'll look at these next four verses because I believe the next four verses, I believe there's three things the next four verses teach us on how to keep our heart with all diligence. Okay, now, just a little disclaimer here. If you don't agree with me on that, that's okay. It is possible that the next four verses just stand on their own, just like Proverbs can stand on their own. Regardless, there are four verses in Proverbs, okay? So if it doesn't point to exactly how you keep your heart with all diligence, it's still good instruction from the wisest man who ever lived, okay? So either way, it's a winning situation for us if we'll apply ourselves and listen. But I do believe that these next four verses will help us understand how to keep our hearts with all diligence. I forgot my brown bag, okay? I've got something in the brown bag I'll show you in just a second. But I'm reminded of being a third grade student at Hammond Baptist Grade School. And Mrs. Hackett, who some of you would know, and Mrs. Hackett was our music teacher. And one day in third grade, I, along with some of my other fellow students, we weren't paying attention, we weren't behaving in music class. And those of you that have gone through Hammond Baptist, that rarely ever happens to Mrs. Hackett because she is excellent. And while I was talking along with some of my other fellow students, Mrs. Hackett fainted. Okay, now, she didn't faint for real. She faked it. She just fainted dead away on the floor. And then, now, you have to understand, as a third grader, if you could put yourself in my position, understand the cruelty of this. She fainted. I was talking and wasn't paying attention. And all of a sudden, the teacher was gone, just like I disappeared from the microphone, and everyone's wondering. Is he leaving? Are we going to get out of chapel early? No. As I walked away, there was that awkward silence, okay? And I looked up, and Mrs. Hackett is just gone. And then all of a sudden, I could see, like, her shoes sticking up, on the floor. I'm like, what's she doing down there? And then she very gracefully stood up, got our attention, And she said, children, at college, I learned in a drama class how to faint. I've never before fainted in class. Those of you that were paying attention saw me faint. The rest of you missed it. And went on, and I'm telling you, I would rather have taken a butcher knife to the back. That's pretty extreme, wasn't it? Wow, I would rather have my eye dug out with a spoon. Anyways, that was pretty rough. Mrs. Hackett, please faint again. And I'm telling you, every other music class, I would help, my classmates would talk, and I was glued to Mrs. Hackett, but she never fainted again, okay? I missed it. Anyways, I don't know, that was a commercial break, just because I walked away to get this bag, okay? Something very unique in the bag today. I have a heart, okay? This is a lamb's heart. Smells like preservation fluid, just so you know. It's not from a butcher. It's actually from a biological supply company. And don't get me started on the heart, because it's a really neat organ. I'm a biology teacher, and I could put all of you asleep in less than 60 seconds, okay? So, but it is an amazing organ. It really is. I'm really struggling to get off the heart. Four chambers, four valves, incredible, okay? Let's just stop there. I'm going to use this. This is a heart. And we're going to use it this morning to illustrate the fact that we need to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Even though we all agree, when that verse talks about a heart, it's not talking about this, the organ that pumps blood. It's talking about, again, where your thinking is, where your opinions are, where your desires are. You better guard that, because it will dictate where you end up in life. You cannot argue that logic with that verse. That is what that verse teaches, right? That's what it says. And you can't argue that. Either you're going to guard it and end up where you're supposed to be, or you're not going to guard it and you're going to end up in a place where you're not supposed to be, with the regret of knowing I'm not where I'm supposed to be in life. You better keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I believe the next few verses teach us specifically, maybe not an exhaustive study, maybe not everything you need to do to keep your heart with all diligence, but I believe it does show us three things you better do if you want to keep your heart with all diligence. Look at the next verse. Verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. I don't know where Solomon was sitting or how he communicated these words to his son. I don't know if he wrote it down and then, you know, gave it to his son and said, read this when you have a chance. I doubt it. My guess is he was looking his son in the eye, the wisest man who ever lived, and said, let me tell you something. You better guard your heart. As much as you do anything else in life, you better guard your heart, because it will determine where you end up in life. You better control what you say. The next words out of Solomon's mouth, if I can paraphrase that next verse, don't you agree that's what it says? Is you better control the words that come out of your mouth. It says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Point to somebody who talks a lot. Just somebody who talks a lot. Huh? Come on up here. Does he talk a lot? Okay, now here's one of the ways I judge that is when I said point to somebody who talks a lot. He was the first one to point, right? And sometimes that's a dead giveaway. Okay, you picked him, okay? Brett is going to remind us, control what you say. Control your mouth. Control what you say. Is that all right with you, Brett? Control what you say. Hey, let's talk about that for just a moment. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Very next words out of Solomon's mouth, or from his pen to the paper, that the Holy Spirit inspired him to say You better control what you say. Okay, watch me for just a moment, and please don't get ahead of the sermon here, but Numbers 2 and 3, which we'll get to in just a minute, if I were to ask you, make a list of what you need to do this holiday season to make sure you guard your heart. You would write down number 2 and 3. You would, and so would I. 2 and 3, I think, are obvious. You might not write down this one. But the longer that I live and study God's word and occasionally have the opportunity to teach it, the more I'm convicted about what God says about how a Christian, a mature Christian, controls his mouth. And we don't have a lot of time to spend here because we want to just get to number 2 and 3. But when you look at the book of James that's written to brethren, it's written to mature Christians, and you look at how much it says about your words. You look at how it explains your words are like a bit in a horse's mouth. And doesn't that bit determine where that horse goes? Just like if you don't keep your heart with all diligence and control your mouth, that will determine where you go. The Bible's illustration, James chapter 3. Your mouth is like the helm of a ship, right? It's like the rudder on a ship. Well, let's see. Oh, I went to scratch my head and realized, man, I'm going to mess up the gel in my hair. Okay. It says, your mouth is like that little rudder on a ship. And that little rudder on a ship, wow, what do you know? It determines the direction. It determines where that ship ends up. Just like controlling your mouth will assist you in keeping your heart with all diligence. Because if you keep your heart with all diligence, it's going to end up where you end up in life. It's going to dictate where you end up in life. If you know God's word, number one is an obvious one. But again, 2 and 3 are maybe a little more obvious to you. Now let's talk about this one again for just a moment. Three quick things. Number one, there are certain topics you have no business talking about, right? There are certain topics that the Bible says never once should be mentioned among you, okay? There are certain words that you learned as a little child you should never say, right? Okay, that's number one, but that's obvious. You already know that. Let's go to number two. How about kind words? You know, I think of a verse, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 15, that says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. It doesn't say that a wise man useth knowledge aright. It says the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Just because you know it to be true doesn't mean that you should say it. You know, there are some of you that you're going to face situations this holiday season when you go back home. And maybe you'll see things that you want to criticize. Hey, is that using knowledge right? You might say, but Brother Woosley, that's wrong. Okay, is it using knowledge aright? I mean, from a parent, criticizing or browbeating a parent into doing what they're supposed to be doing from a child, okay, good luck with that. That doesn't work. Do you understand that? If you go home after spending a semester in Bible college and you try to fix a mom or dad with your words, you better be real smart about that one. Because the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Just because it's true doesn't mean you should say it. If it's unkind, maybe you shouldn't say it. I'm not saying there's never a time to use unkind words to straighten out a problem. Good night. I'm a principal of a school, and sometimes my words aren't always kind, and it's necessary. I get that. But you better use knowledge aright. If you want to keep your heart with all diligence, number one, you better control your mouth. How do I control my mouth? Well, there's certain things you shouldn't talk about, right? You just shouldn't say. Unkind words, we are commanded to be ye kind one to another. Yeah, but that person doesn't deserve my kindness. I know, that's why he says, even for God's sake, even for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Even as God, you know the verse, 4:32, Ephesians. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Did you deserve it? I didn't. And that person that you want to be unkind to, maybe you think, but they deserve it. Okay, so did you. And our example in using kind words is Christ. That's a tough one. Right? You can't get around that. Okay? Unkind words. Lastly, words of criticism. Those three things. Again, there's things you shouldn't talk about. Number two, unkind words. Number three, words of criticism. You know, normally words of criticism, they don't build up. They're not productive. Normally, it just maybe makes you feel better in saying it. But you know what? That's wrong. It's ungodly. Okay, if you really want to keep your heart with all diligence, number one, you better learn to control your mouth. Do you agree that that's what verse 24 says? I'll read it again. It says, put away from thee a forward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee. That's what the Bible says. Number two, look at verse 25 and see if, as we look at it, figure out what number two is. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now, wouldn't you have guessed that if you're going to guard your thoughts and emotions, that you better guard what comes in your brain through your eyes, right? Wouldn't you have thought that that's true? I know how what I see affects what I think about. You know, I need a volunteer. I have a volunteer. It doesn't involve biting it harder. Is that Joey back there? Come on up, Joe. You know, Joe, as I sat up here, I thought about, you know, Joe would be a good one for number one, actually. Okay, but hey, you volunteered for number two. We'll take it, Joe, okay? Here, Joe. You can be six eyes, okay? Put those over your glasses. There you go. Joe is going to remind us that not only, number one, you want to keep your heart with all diligence, you better control what you say. Number two, doesn't that say in verse 25, you better control your eyes, right? You better control what you see. The eyes, the way that you see, the way that God designed your eyes, our eyes, is amazing. And I could describe to you how that light comes in the hole in your eye, which is your pupil, hits your retina, goes along your optic nerve to, you know, the back of your brain, the occipital lobe, which is amazing that you can see Joey with two pair of glasses up here this morning, okay? You can see that. But you know what else you can see? What is amazing is you can close your eyes and you can see something that happened yesterday. Scientists can't explain that to you. How can you go through this filing cabinet of your brain, which, by the way, isn't a filing cabinet, it's a bunch of pudding between your ears, okay? Which, if we popped open the top of your head, we could take our finger and just put it right through your brain. It is 98.7 degree pudding is what it is, okay? But somehow you're able to close your eyes and see something that happened last week. Hey, now watch me. Here's the point. If you want to control your heart, if you want to keep your heart with all diligence, number one, you better control what you say, and number two, you better control what you see. And when I think of controlling what you see, I think you better control it in two ways. Number one, don't let something that shouldn't get in there, okay? How's that for wisdom? If you shouldn't look at it, don't look at it. How's that? There are certain things that you just shouldn't look at. And by the way, if you know it's coming, look away. Don't look at it. Number two, every one of us in our lives, every one of us without exception in this room has seen something that we shouldn't see, that we should not have seen. Maybe we looked at it on purpose. Maybe we saw it by accident. But there's stuff in there that we should not think about and meditate on. Do you agree? You shouldn't close your eyes and in your mind's eye, picture that and look at it. If you do, you're not controlling what you see. You're not diligently guarding your heart, and you're allowing the devil to dictate where you end up in life because you're not keeping your heart with all diligence. Control what you see. You got a lot more freedom than you had just a short time ago. For some of you, it was a few months ago. For some of you, it was just a couple years ago, where you have the ability to do things that you shouldn't do, look at things that you shouldn't look at. You want to guard your heart, then make sure you not only control what you say, make sure you control what you see. We okay on that? Let's look at the last one. We'll read two verses here, verse 26 and 27. See if you can see What this third thing is, Solomon says to his son, verse 26 says, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Could we take those two verses and say that you need to control where you go? Now, I know it talks about paths there. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about right paths, about the way of the righteous, the way of the fool. Okay, it has a lot to say about ways and paths, and you could say that as a lifestyle. That's fine, okay? And the way that you live, and that's okay too. But it says there in verse the last verse of that chapter, the last phrase says, remove thy foot from evil. That sounds like it's talking about, like, I need to make sure my next step is going towards right and not towards evil. So I would say that number three is you better control where you go. Is that okay with you? Again, you can differ with me, but that is what I believe those next two verses teach. Anybody in here wear a size 14 or larger? Just one? Anybody else wear, what size shoe do you wear? 14? I got 14 going once. Anybody bigger than 14? All right, come on up if you don't mind, okay? It's easier to ponder the path of his feet, okay, because they're size 14. You know, there is a seventh grade boy that has size 14 feet at Hammond Baptist Junior High. He's one of my favorites as a basketball coach, okay? Anyways, because he's a big guy. Size 14, all right, come right over here. Okay, he's going to help us remember, okay? We got control what you say, control what you see, control where you go. Not only do many of you have more freedom, and not all of you, okay, but many of you have more freedom than you had just a few months or a couple years ago. Now your schedule is going to change drastically for all of us. Once Christmas break hits, and I look forward to that, you look forward to that. However, your schedule is going to change. Make sure you control very diligently where you go. Some of you are going back to some influences that were not healthy in your life. And you know, before you ever go to a certain location, if I go back home and I go to that place with those people, that's not going to be helpful to the heart that I've worked diligently to develop over the last few months. I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult your intelligence. But don't go there, right? If you already know that by going there, it's going to hurt my relationship and my heart for the Lord, then why on earth would you go there? Maybe because you don't consider it. Well, you check that one off the list because we're talking about it this morning. As long as my sound waves are bouncing off your eardrum, hopefully it's registering with you that you shouldn't go there. So the only other reason is maybe you really don't want to keep your heart with all diligence. And that's why you end up going there. Be kind to them. Be a good influence to whoever we're talking about here, who I don't know, but in your mind's eye, you know. But don't allow the devil to get to that thing that's going to dictate where you end up for God. And the devil can get to it if you don't remove your foot from evil, right? If you go where you're not supposed to go. If you allow yourself to get under influences that are not going to help you keep your heart with all diligence. Where is it that you shouldn't go? Now, I've tried to be careful in the time that we've taken here. To be honest, to not be too specific. To look at what the scripture says, I think we agreed that, okay, if I want to end up where I'm supposed to end up, I better guard my heart, right? I think we agreed on that. And if you look at that next verse, you can't explain away that it tells you better control what you say. The next verse, eyelids, eyes, it's probably talking about what I see, okay? And those last two verses is talking about where you go. You can't get away from that. But the reason why I try not to be too specific is because what affects my words, what I see, where I go in my life is different than you in your life. Where did the Holy Spirit speak to you? As we talked about keeping your heart with all diligence. Some of you, it may have been a half hour ago when we used the word diligent. And you kind of thought, man, yeah, that thing that I do diligently is not nearly as important as keeping my heart. And I don't do that diligently. Maybe it was there. Maybe it was as soon as we started talking about words. Ah. And you think back to a specific conversation or something that you said during announcements a few minutes ago, okay? Or that person that just rubs you the wrong way and unkind words come out of your mouth either to them or about them. Again, now I'm starting to get specific, but I don't mean to, because I want the Holy Spirit to convict you. What is it when you see Solomon and the Holy Spirit say, guard your heart, control what you say, control what you see, control where you go? Okay, what do you need to do about that? Okay, this is a very practical message. Proverbs is a very practical book. What do you need to do about that? See, occasionally, I talk to a student that maybe is getting in trouble in class, or they're not applying themselves to their grades. Okay, I'm done here with this illustration, but listen. Occasionally, it becomes very obvious to me quickly in that conversation that what I need to do is I need to make this problem, okay, bad grades, getting in trouble, bad decisions, okay, we need to make this problem his problem. Right now, it's his mom's problem. It's his teacher's problem. How are you going to fix me? Okay, hey, no. Pal, this is your life. You understand? This is your problem. You want to go through life with no education, good luck. Hope you like McDonald's, because that's where you're going to be working. No offense to if you work at McDonald's, okay? Anyways, the problem is somehow we have to make that young man's problem, because he's the only one that can fix the problem. Do you know where this illustration is going? Some of you are still hung up on McDonald's, okay? Do you know where the illustration is going? Hey, keeping your heart with all diligence for years, it was your mom's problem. It was your dad's problem. It was your Christian school teacher's problem. It was your youth pastor's problem. It was your pastor's problem. And they were always working to try to keep your heart with all diligence. No. Not at this age in your life, right? This is your problem. It's your heart. It's your future. And more importantly, you have other people in your future that are depending on you to be what you're supposed to be. And if your heart isn't what it ought to be, you're not going to be able to help them like you're supposed to help them. Whatever motivates you, make sure you understand this is your problem. I wonder if Solomon's son got that. Those of us that grew up in good homes, good places, we always had other people assisting us with keeping our heart with all diligence. That's my problem, right? It's your problem. It's your life. It's your future. It's your heart. Control what you say, control what you see. Let's control where we go. Let's pray. Thank you, guys. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe.